All right, let's dive in. Today we're taking a deep dive into Exodus chapters 23 and 24,
Oh, yeah.
and specifically looking at the covenant between God and the Israelites. We'll be exploring what it meant for them back then, what it shows us about God, and believe it or not, how it surprisingly connects to you and me even today.
Right.
Our guide for this journey is going to be excerpts from Dr. John Oswalt's teaching on the book of Exodus.
He is a fantastic scholar.
Oh, absolutely.
I always enjoy listening to his lectures.
Me too. He just brings such a depth of understanding to these ancient texts.
It makes them so relevant, doesn't he?
Oh, absolutely.
For today.
He really does. And I think that's what's so fascinating about these chapters is that they really get to the core of the relationship between the Israelites and God.
Yeah.
And they show how this covenant wasn't just about rituals and sacrifices.
Right.
It was about their everyday lives.
Yeah.
And especially how they treated other people.
That's what I was thinking, too. It was so fascinating how much of the covenant focuses on that.
I know, right?
Justice and compassion.
Yeah, and specifically this emphasis on justice and how it was so intertwined with compassion, even for their enemies. I mean, they were commanded to return lost animals to help those in need.
Yeah, regardless of whether they liked the person or not.
Regardless of whether they liked them.
Which is, that's a tough thing.
It's radical even for us today, right?
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely, and it makes you wonder, like, how...
Revolutionary
is the right word. Back then, this idea of treating everyone fairly, even your enemies, was practically unheard of.
Well, it was. It was. Yeah. And Dr. Oswalt actually emphasizes how this concept of justice extended to their worship practices, too.
Okay. You mean like the Sabbath and those three major festivals?
Yeah.
Passover, Pentecost, the Feast of Ingathering.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought those were just about personal piety, you know?
Right. You would think so.
Like a private thing between you and God.
That's where things get really interesting, though. Because Dr. Oswalt points out that these weren't just these private rituals they were doing on their own. They had a huge impact on the entire community.
So it wasn't just you doing your own thing over here. It was like everyone's involved in this.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay, give me an example. Like, how did this work?
Sure. So take the Sabbath, for instance.
Okay.
It wasn't just a day off for the Israelites, right? Ugh. I mean, we think of Sabbath as, oh, I get to sleep in.
Yeah, exactly.
But, it was meant to benefit their land.
Oh, wow.
Their animals, their servants.
I never thought about it like that.
Even the foreigners living among them.
Oh, interesting.
It almost sounds like an ancient form of social justice, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah.
If you think about it that way.
And it makes you think about how your own faith, or even just your personal values, might inspire you to do things that actually benefit others.
Yes.
Like, it's not just about what you believe.
Yeah.
It's about how those beliefs translate into actions that impact the people around you.
Exactly. And then there's another fascinating layer to these festivals, too.
Oh, there's more.
That really struck me.
Lay it on me.
Is that they were strategically timed to coincide with pagan celebrations.
So wait. They were intentionally overlapping with what everyone else was already doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why? Was it to try and, like, convert people, or...?
It's more nuanced than that.
Okay.
It's not quite evangelism as we would think of it today.
Okay.
Dr. Oswalt suggests it was a way of resisting assimilation into the surrounding pagan culture.
Okay.
So the Israelites were offering this alternative way of understanding life and death and renewal.
Okay.
A different narrative from the dominant one.
So almost like a counter narrative to what the pagans were doing.
It's almost like, a cultural clash happening right in front of you.
Oh, that's so interesting. Okay, so let's imagine what this was like, right? You've got these pagan groups celebrating, let's say, the mythical victory of their gods over chaos. And right alongside them, you've got the Israelites celebrating God's deliverance during the Exodus.
Right.
Like, that's wild.
It's a battle of ideas.
It is a battle of ideas happening right there in front of you.
Right.
So what do you think that did to the Israelites? Did it strengthen their faith? Did it make them question their own beliefs? Did it lead to conflict? Like, how do you think that played out?
Those are all great questions. Dr. Oswalt doesn't really dive into those specifics.
Okay.
But it does make you think, doesn't it?
It does.
About how being a minority faith, surrounded by all these different belief systems, might have shaped their worldview.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And their experience.
It's a reminder that even amidst a dominant culture, faith can offer a different lens for seeing the world.
Yes, and that's powerful.
It is powerful.
Yeah.
But let's not forget, This covenant came with some pretty serious strings attached to it.
It did.
God promised them some amazing things, fellowship with him.
Right.
Protection.
Mm-hmm.
Entry into the promised land.
The land flowing with milk and honey.
Yes. But it wasn't unconditional, was it?
It wasn't a free pass.
No.
No.
Not at all.
He demanded their loyalty, and he warned against rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Oswald specifically calls out what he calls intentional sin with an expectation of forgiveness.
Oh, interesting.
Like they could just do whatever they wanted.
And get away with it.
And be forgiven without even a second thought.
Right.
So it wasn't a free pass at all.
No.
There were real consequences for breaking this covenant.
There were.
But wouldn't you say most people are inherently good?
I would hope so.
Right. Like, deep down, don't we all want to do the right thing?
I think most people do, yeah.
So why all this emphasis on potential rebellion?
Well, that is a question, isn't it?
It is a big question, and it makes me wonder.
Yeah.
Were the Israelites really that naive to think they could keep all these commandments perfectly?
It's easy to judge from our perspective, right?
Right.
But I think Dr. Oswald suggests that they genuinely intended to obey.
Okay.
The problem is,
the covenant also acted like a mirror.
Ooh, I like that.
Right, reflecting back this deep-seated flaw in human nature.
Okay.
This desire for God's blessings without fully embracing his ways.
Oh, I see what you mean.
We want the reward without putting in the work.
Yeah, we want the duties without the responsibility.
Exactly.
We've all been there, right? Like, I totally want to eat healthy
right.
and exercise every day.
Yeah.
But then, you know, that pizza shows up.
It's so tempting.
It's like, forget the salad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Dr. Oswald connects this directly to modern believers, too.
Oh, interesting.
Right? He's not just talking about these ancient Israelites.
He's saying we're still doing it.
He points out that initial enthusiasm for faith, you know, when you first come to faith. Or,
right. That excitement, the newness.
Yeah, the newness of it.
Yeah.
Often gets challenged by the reality of daily obedience.
Yeah, living it out day to day.
It's not always easy to align our human desires
right.
with what we believe is God's will.
Yeah, it's like that tension between what we want
yes.
and what we know we should do.
Absolutely.
And the Israelites' journey through the wilderness really highlights that struggle, doesn't it? I mean, yeah. they face setbacks, temptations, moments of doubt.
Totally.
It wasn't a smooth ride for them.
Not at all.
No.
And that's where Dr. Oswald unveils this truly intriguing insight.
Okay.
He suggests that this human tendency to fall short, right, to mess up,
yeah,
wasn't a design flaw in the covenant.
Okay.
It was actually part of a bigger plan.
Hold on. So you're saying God set them up to fail?
Not quite.
Okay.
It wasn't about setting them up for failure.
Okay.
But about revealing a deeper truth about the human condition.
Oh. Okay. So it was more about exposing something
yes.
that was already there.
According to Dr. Oswald, the covenant's third purpose.
Okay.
And this is a key takeaway.
I'm listening.
Was to expose what he calls the continually evil nature of the human heart.
Okay, now, continually evil seems a bit harsh.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, I get that we're not perfect.
Right.
But is that all we are?
No, I think there's definitely more to us than that.
Okay.
But I think what Dr. Oswald's getting at is that humanity, left to its own devices,
okay.
tends to fall short
yeah.
of God's standards.
Okay.
And the covenant was designed to demonstrate that.
In a very real way.
In a very real way.
Okay.
It wasn't about condemning them. It was about laying the groundwork for a future solution.
Okay, so like a setup for something bigger.
Yes, one that would address the root problem
okay.
of human sinfulness, not just the symptoms.
So the covenant was pointing towards something more?
Mm-hmm.
Something that could bridge that gap
yeah.
between our imperfections
mm-hmm.
and God's perfection?
And that's where the story of the Israelites becomes even more significant.
Okay, how so?
Because it foreshadows the coming of Jesus.
Oh, okay.
And how he fulfills the covenant in a way that they couldn't have imagined.
Oh, wow.
So they were living out a preview of a much bigger story.
That's powerful.
And by studying the Old Testament in light of the New Testament,
yeah.
we can start to see how God's plan unfolds across history.
It's like seeing the whole tapestry.
It is.
Instead of just like a little...
Yeah, a little snippet.
A little thread,
yeah.
you know.
Exactly.
But we can't forget about the specific laws in the covenant.
Oh, right.
The ones that often leave people scratching their heads.
Yeah, like what?
Those weird ones.
Yeah, like what's the deal with not cooking a baby goat in its mother's milk?
Yeah, that one always gets me.
Right.
Aye.
Or having to return a lost ox, even if it belongs to your enemy.
That's a tough one.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you want to keep the ox?
Right. It could be valuable.
It could be very valuable.
Yeah.
Those always seem so random.
Yeah, like where did that come from?
Yeah, and sometimes even strange.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we make sense of these?
Well, Dr. Oswald reminds us that these laws were given in a very specific historical and cultural context.
So while we might not fully understand the reasoning behind every single one,
Right.
I think we can still uncover some important principles.
Okay, I'm intrigued. So let's unpack some of these head scratchers then.
All right, let's do it.
Starting with the goat and its mother's milk.
That one's always a fun one.
It's a bizarre one, right?
Yeah.
But I remember Dr. Oswald mentioning that this might have been a practice
Right.
associated with pagan worship.
Yes. It's thought that maybe some of the surrounding cultures were doing this
No care.
as part of their religious rituals.
So by prohibiting it, God was setting his people apart.
Yeah.
It was about creating a clear distinction between their worship and the practices of those around them.
Exactly. It's about identity.
Okay, so it was less about the goat
Yeah.
and more about establishing a unique identity, like a line in the sand between them
Right.
and the prevailing culture.
It's like this is who we are and this is who we are not.
Yeah, and that's a principle that still resonates with us today, right? Whether it's faith or ethics or just personal values, sometimes it takes making tough choices.
Yeah.
Choices that might set you apart from the crowd
Right.
to truly live what you believe.
It's about standing up for what you believe in,
It
even
is.
when it's difficult.
Absolutely. That
Yeah.
makes a lot of sense. Now, what about those laws regarding enemies,
Oh, yeah.
like having to return their lost animals?
That one always gets me.
I know, that seems so counterintuitive,
Right.
especially in the context of ancient warfare.
Yeah, wouldn't you want to keep the ox?
Yeah, I would.
It can help you.
Give you an advantage.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
But Dr. Oswald suggests that these laws, however impractical they might seem to us,
Yeah.
were actually radical acts of compassion in the ancient world.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They were meant to demonstrate God's mercy and justice,
Okay.
even toward those who opposed them.
So it wasn't about strategic advantage in battle. It was about showing a different way.
Yes.
Like, hey, our God isn't about revenge.
Right.
He's about something bigger.
It's about breaking the cycle of violence,
Oh,
breaking the
wow.
cycle of hatred.
And it makes you think about how we treat those we consider our enemies today.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Are we quick to retaliate? Or do we look for opportunities to show grace and mercy?
That's the question.
It's a big question.
It is.
And it's amazing to think that these seemingly small acts of kindness
Yeah.
could have had such a ripple effect in their society. It makes you realize that these ancient laws aren't just irrelevant relics of the past.
Yeah.
They contain some pretty timeless principles that are still applicable today.
They're about how we live and how we treat each other.
Exactly. And as we continue our deep dive,
Yes.
we'll see how those principles unfold in even more unexpected ways.
I can't wait.
But before we move on to part two,
Okay.
let's just pause and really reflect on what we've uncovered so far.
Right.
We've explored that tension between human desire and divine will, this covenant's purpose in revealing our need for something more,
Yes.
and the surprising relevance of those seemingly strange laws.
It's been a journey.
It's been a real eye-opening journey.
It has.
And I can't wait to see what other insights we uncover.
Me too.
As we explore the climax of this story, Moses's ascent up Mount Sinai.
That's where it gets really good.
That's where it gets really
Yeah.
intense. So buckle up. We'll be right back.
See you soon.
So we were talking about how this covenant wasn't some unconditional free pass, right?
Right.
There were serious consequences for breaking the rules. And it makes me wonder, like, were the Israelites really that naive
Oh, yeah.
to think they could follow all these commandments perfectly?
It's easy to judge from where we are, right? Thousands of years later.
Yeah, with the benefit of hindsight.
But Dr. Oswald suggests they genuinely intended to obey.
Okay.
I mean, they'd seen God's power firsthand.
Yeah, the plagues, the parting of the Red Sea.
Exactly. But the thing is, the covenant also acted like this mirror,
Okay.
reflecting this flaw in human nature.
Oh, that's interesting.
This desire for the blessings without fully embracing God's ways.
I see what you mean. It's like wanting the reward without the effort.
Exactly. It's like wanting to win the marathon without having to, run.
Right, without all the training and the sweat and the blisters.
Exactly.
We've all been there, right? It's like, I want to eat healthy and exercise every day, but then
Look at that donut appears.
that
Yeah.
donut, that pizza, that ice cream, whatever your weakness is,
And suddenly your willpower disappears.
poof, gone.
And Dr. Oswald connects this to modern believers too.
Oh, so he's not just talking about the ancient Israelites.
Not at all. He's saying we still do this today.
We're still falling for the same traps.
We want God on our own terms. We want a God who fits into our neat little boxes.
A God who's convenient for us.
Right, but that's not how it works.
That's not the God of the Bible.
Not at all. And this actually leads into what Dr. Oswald calls the third purpose of the covenant.
Okay, the third purpose. We got to hear this.
This is a key takeaway here.
Hit me with it.
It was to expose what he calls the continually evil nature of the human heart.
Okay, well, hold on a second. Continually evil.
Strong words, right?
It seems a bit extreme, doesn't it?
It does sound harsh, but I think he's getting at something deeper.
Okay, I'm listening.
He's not saying we're all just inherently bad people.
Okay.
But he's saying that humanity, left to its own devices, will always fall short of God's standard.
Okay, so it's like we have this built-in tendency to mess things up.
Yeah, we have this gravitational pull towards selfishness.
Towards choosing our own desires over what we know is right.
Exactly.
Okay, so where does that leave us?
That's where the good news comes in.
Okay, tell me more.
This whole covenant thing, it wasn't meant to condemn us.
Okay.
It was meant to show us our need for something more.
Something beyond ourselves.
Exactly. Something that can bridge the gap between our brokenness and God's perfection.
And that something is Jesus, right?
Yes, he's the fulfillment of the covenant.
He's the one who actually lives up to God's standard.
Perfectly.
Perfectly.
And he offers that perfection to us as a gift.
Wow, that's powerful. So even in the Old Testament, we see this foreshadowing of God's ultimate plan.
It's all there, woven into the story.
It's amazing how it all connects together.
And it makes you realize that these stories, they're not just ancient history.
Right, they're speaking to us today.
They're about the human condition. About our struggles, our hopes, our need for redemption.
And they're pointing us towards the one who can truly satisfy that need.
Exactly.
Welcome back. It's time to finish our deep dive, and I, for one, am ready to see where this all leads.
Me too. We've talked about this covenant between God and the Israelites, the promises, the struggles, the deeper meaning behind it all.
Yeah, and now we're at this point where Moses goes up Mount Sinai to meet with God face to face.
Mm-hmm. It's a pivotal moment.
No kidding.
Full of drama.
For sure. Full of symbolism, too.
Dr. Oswald describes this scene so vividly, you know, with the thunder and lightning.
Right.
This thick cloud engulfing the mountain.
It's like something out of a movie.
It is. It's intense. And, yeah. And you know, Moses is allowed to approach God, but even Aaron.
Okay.
His sons, the 70 elders, they all have to keep their distance.
So even those closest to Moses couldn't just, like, waltz up to God's heavenly doorstep.
Exactly. There were boundaries, even
so
for them.
So it set sense of awe. Right?
Oh, absolutely. This reverence surrounding God's presence.
Like, you don't just casually chat with the Almighty.
His otherness, as Dr. Oswald puts it.
And it reminds me of how we often try to, like, put God in a box, make him fit into our neat little human categories.
But he's always bigger than that.
Always.
He transcends our understanding.
So this encounter on Mount Sinai, this is where Moses gets the Ten Commandments.
Yes,
right?
The Big Ten, the foundation for the entire Mosaic Law.
Talk about a game changer.
It was a moment of divine revelation.
It was, but even with these clear instructions, after witnessing all these incredible miracles.
You'd think they'd be good to go, right?
You would think. But they still struggle.
Oh, they do.
Remember what happens while Moses is up on that mountain?
Oh, the golden calf incident.
It's classic, isn't it? As soon as Moses' back is turned, they're like, let's make our own God, one that's a bit more portable.
A little more convenient, a little more to their liking.
It's almost comical how quickly they forget everything they've experienced.
But it's more than comical, isn't it?
What do you mean?
It's kind of tragic.
Okay. Yeah, I see that.
And it's not just an ancient Israelite problem.
Oh, are you saying we do this too?
We do. We still do this today.
Like how?
We want God on our own terms. A God we can control.
A God who fits into our busy schedules.
Exactly. A God who doesn't rock the boat too much.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
It does. It's a powerful reminder that we can so easily slip into idolatry.
Creating our own golden calves without even realizing it.
Without even realizing it.
Wow. Okay. So I'm seeing a pattern here.
What's that?
This tension between God's holiness. Mm-hmm. And our human tendency to mess things up.
It's been playing out since the Garden of Eden.
Hasn't it?
Yeah.
So where does that leave us?
That's the good news.
Okay, I like good news.
This whole covenant thing, it wasn't meant to discourage us.
Okay, good.
It was meant to awaken us.
To what?
To our need for something more.
Something beyond the rules and regulations.
The Israelites, they couldn't achieve perfect obedience on their own.
Right. They needed help.
They needed a solution that could bridge that gap between their flawed humanity and God's perfection.
And that solution is ultimately found in Jesus.
Yes. He fulfills the covenant in a way that goes beyond anything the Israelites could have imagined.
So if we're not wandering in a desert,
right,
if we're not sacrificing animals on altars,
yeah,
what does all this ancient stuff have to do with us today?
That's the question, isn't it? Is this just an interesting history lesson, or is there something more?
I have a feeling you're going to say there's more.
There's always more.
Okay, tell me.
The call to justice. The way our desires often clash with what we know is right.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we all need something beyond ourselves. These are themes that are woven into the fabric of human experience.
They're timeless.
The Israelites' struggles, their triumphs, their failures, they resonate with us on a deeper level.
It's like holding up a mirror to our own lives.
Exactly. And it challenges us to think about how we're living out our own faith, our values.
Yeah. Are we seeking justice and compassion in our daily lives?
Are we willing to stand up for what we believe, even when it's unpopular?
Are we acknowledging our own need for grace, for something beyond ourselves?
Those are the questions that this deep dive has raised for me.
For me, too. And I hope it's given you, our listener, some new insights into the book of Exodus and how it connects to your life today.
We've just scratched the surface here.
There's so much more to explore.
Keep asking questions. Keep seeking truth.
And keep diving deep.
We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.